Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we lift up Desiree Valdez. Lord, we lift up the Sesma family and the Baca family, oh God. Lord, let your grace be sufficient. Lord, give them what it takes, oh God. Lord, that they would continue to praise you and glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these incidences, oh God, you will speak to the families and you'll let them know, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for this Bible study now. I pray, God, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to conclude chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 18 through 25. 18 through 25. And so as I prepare our screen right up here, let's go there. Amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Bore Our Sins. Jesus Bore Our Sins. So if you're ready, turn with me there to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start to read verses 18 through 25, and then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen. And here we go. And it reads, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Verse 20, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" That's a good question. "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Praise God. Verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself," look at this, "to him who judges righteously." Here we go, verse 24 and 25. "Who himself bore our sins." This is where I got this evening's message. "He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for" what? "Righteousness." Praise God. "By whose stripes you were healed." Say that with me at home. "By whose stripes you were healed." Last verse. "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your souls." Praise God. Praise God. So let's break this down. And here we go. In verse 18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with" what? "With all fear." Look at this. "Not only to the good and gentle, but also" what? "To the harsh." Wow. That's right. And that's a tough thing to do, saints. It is. It's a tough thing to do. You see, saints, Peter, he had already commanded believers to accept authority. He specifically addressed Christians who were slaves in the pagan homes. And the Greek word means a household servant. Peter called these servants to accept the authority of their masters, meaning that they should cooperate, be loyal, and willingly, saints of God, obey. And like Paul, Peter neither condemned nor condoned slavery. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. Look at this. He wrote this, "Therefore, as the elect of God," point to yourself at home. You are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on what? "Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Saints of God, this is tough to do if you're in the flesh, but if you're walking in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, this right here, God will empower you and enable you to do so. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must do. Look at this in verse 14 and 15. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Praise God. Praise God. To which you were also called in one body. That's right. We were called in one body. You see, saints, to attempt to rebel against the system would only bring the wrath of the powerful Roman Empire and would hurt the cause of the gospel during this dispensation. So the apostle suggested that the believer should live within the system, hoping to transform it by first transforming lives through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's no different than today. We must do the same. Our lives that are being transformed day by day, we must learn how to share and spread the gospel. Can I get an amen? That we would see their lives transformed like ours right now. You see, my friends, Peter commanded that the believing slaves simply serve well and show respect, not just to Christian masters or to those who were kind and reasonable, but also to masters who were what? Who were harsh. Oh, that's right. You know, today's masters are our employees. Oh, that's right. They're our bosses, wherever you're employed. Praise God. Even sometimes the authority can get out of line. But we are to what? Submit. You see, saints, it would take God's grace for Christian slaves to be loyal and obediently serve such a master during these times. Peter encouraged loyalty and perseverance, even in the face of unjust treatment. And how many of you at home ever been treated unjustly? Oh, all of us have at one time or another. So let's move on now. Let's go on here to verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly." Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? Wow. Even suffering wrongfully. You see, saints, many of the readers of this letter, slaves who had become Christians, would have known all too well, saints, what it meant to patiently endure unfair treatment. Oh, that's right. We find a perfect scripture reference that would help us understand it a little clearer. Let's go there right now to 2 Timothy 2, 10 through 14. Let's read this. It says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect." Wow. This is Paul writing to Timothy, "that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will" what? "Deny us." Wow. Wow. That's pretty deep right there. Look at this in verse 13 and 14. "If we are faithless," praise God, look at this, "he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to" what? "To strive about words to no profit, to the ruin" what? "Of the hearers." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, it would please God if these believers trusted in him as they endured pain, referring to mental, not physical anguish. Caused by what? Caused by unjust suffering. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found to correlate this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and it says, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be" what? "Blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God." Saints of God, those of you are at home right now, all of us are called to be ministers. "In much patience, in tribulations, in needs and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, and in sleeplessness, in fastings." Wow. Wow. Look at this. "By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness of the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on" also what? "The left." Praise God. Praise God. You see, being patient, saints of God, for the sake of their conscience means that when they suffered, they were remembering God's care and love for them, even as they suffered. And no different than today. Some of us are going through with physical ailments. I get that. Some of us have suffered loss. But we need to focus, can I get an amen, on the task at hand. That Jesus has a mighty plan in all that is laid out before us. So, and when things happen, our loved ones, our physical health, our finances, we need to turn to whom? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, they focus on the fact that they were suffering injustice and Christ had suffered injustice. And they knew that one day God would right all the wrongs. Can I get an amen? How many believe that? Oh, that's right. We have to learn to believe that. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. We need to learn to God that we can do this with God's power. I want you to catch this verse of scripture right up here. Let's go here. Here we go. Let's go there. In verse 20, and it reads, praise God, praise God. It reads, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. Wow. Wow, look at this, saints of God. And you do good. If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. What? Wow. Wow. Let's read that again. For what credit? Look at that. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? That's a good question. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is what? Commendable before God. Wow. Wow, saints. That's awesome. You see, while bearing the pain of unjust suffering is commendable before God, there is no special condemnation for patiently bearing punishment that is deserved. Wow. You see, my friends, the word for beaten means to strike with one's fist. And many have been beaten by fists. But we have a wonderful example on patience and restraint, holding back vengeance. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this. It's found in the book of Mark 14, 63 through 65. Look at this. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witness? Verse 64, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. This is when they incarcerated him, Jesus, wrongfully. Look at this. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him. Wow. And to beat him, and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Wow, wow. We all saw the Passion of the Christ. We all know what took place, saints. You see, Jesus was our perfect example. He endured all things. There was no guile in his mouth. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't lose it right there? He could have called legions of angels and just did away with them. But he had to go to the cross as a humble servant. That was God who died for our sins. My sins and yours, praise God. You see, my friends, Christian slaves who patiently endured suffering when they had done nothing to deserve it, it would please God. However, if they suffered for doing wrong, then they would get no credit for it. That's right. Because we did it to ourselves. You heard me say that before. Praise God. So let's move forward, and we're going to go to now verse 21 in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should what? Follow his steps. That's right. That we would follow his steps. You see, saints, why have believers been called to suffering? You ever ask yourself that? You know, I deal with physical ailments, and I've been dealing with them since the age of 30. I'm 64. By the grace of God, I'm still alive. And I've had the privilege and the honor to pray with souls and to watch God do miraculous things, heal them, deliver them, watch God bring them into salvation just by the laying of hands and by the preached word of God. And I've also asked God, what about me, God? and I hear God's word, because we could get so many people that would give their opinion. And some of their opinions are very thoughtful. They thought it out, and they're only trying to help. But when there's no more reasons or explanations, we got to go to the Word. And so Paul, he asked God three times, I have a thorn in my side. God, can you remove it? And the Word of God reads, Jesus said it best, my grace is sufficient. Wow. Saints of God, I've come to an understanding that, yeah, God can heal you right then and there. He can remove that right then and there. But there's some things that God allows us, and I believe for Paul's sake, it was to keep him humble. It might be for me. I don't know that. I just keep hearing God's word. My grace is sufficient. And so sometimes, saints, don't get bitter and mad if God doesn't answer your prayers of affliction right away. Because God heard your cry. He heard it the first time. And some may come alongside and try to figure things out for you. But you know what? Be kind, be gentle. I like what Dr. Loretta Gonzalez, who taught deliverance class at my first church at North Park Apostolic Church, she said it best. You're going to hear a whole bunch of sermons throughout your life. But what you do is you take out the meat and throw away the bone. Amen? There's going to be some great recommendations. There's going to be some great advice, counseling, and what. You know, receive what's good and something that just does not jive right. In other words, your discernment is not, it's not of God. It's about, it's man explaining and trying to figure it out for you. You just toss it out. And don't get mad. Don't get bitter. They're only trying to help. I get that. And so we have to have a whole lot of grace. But here's the bottom line. We got to learn how to trust God. Can I get an amen? Learn to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your path. You see, saints, because such suffering was endured by the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus had told Peter and other disciples at the Last Supper, what did He say? Let's look at this in John 15:20. A servant is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they will what? Persecute you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, when we patiently suffer injustice, we are following our supreme example in Christ. Saints, the believers were to follow in His steps, means to follow in Jesus' complete peace and trust in God. Christ has given believers an example of how they are to face injustice and persecution, saints of God. Praise God. Look what I found here in Philippians right here. Look at this in Philippians 1:29-30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is me. Wow. Wow. Praise God. You see, Peter set up Christ as the model for the believers to follow. And His example would have greatly comforted these believers who soon would be persecuted for their faith. You see, saints, they should face injustice from harsh masters, oh yeah, or from other authorities with supreme dignity, trusting God's control. How many of you trust God? Well, continue to trust Him, because He allowed things to happen for purpose in our life. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 22 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Who committed no sin was deceit found in his mouth. Wow. Wow. Praise God. You see, Jesus was the sinless Savior. And so, saints, right here, he quoted from throughout Isaiah 53. Isaiah's prophecy about the suffering of the coming Messiah. Praise God. Look what I found right here in Isaiah 53:9. Look at this. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? There was no deceit in his mouth. You see, saints, Christ's suffering was completely unjust because he never sinned or deceived anyone. There was no good reason for his being condemned all the way to his death. Guess what? Even Pontius Pilate saw something that even today some don't see. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this. Look at this. In John 19:4, Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." What? That's right. He found no fault. This was the authority of the day. He was the emperor of Rome. And even he didn't discern anything about the Lord Jesus Christ's wrongdoing. But it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. It was all those who missed it, who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the ones that would be saying, "Crucify him." They thought that he was saying blasphemous things. And yet, the prophets prophesied about the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, to be raised up in Nazareth, and then to start a 3.5-year ministry. They missed it. They couldn't see it. And praise God, he who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of God by faith. How many are so blessed to know, hallelujah, that God, in his grace, in his mercy, in his foreknowledge, went through the highways and byways, hallelujah, to find you and myself. We were wretched and poor and naked. Oh, that's right. We had no hope until Jesus came, hallelujah, and interrupted our life. And I'm so blessed. How many are so thankful that God has delivered you from drugs and alcohol, from womanizing, from sex, from all kinds of illicit things that God calls an abomination? And even you may have not experienced those things I just mentioned, but every one of us has some sort of pride, some sort of malfunctioning in our spiritual heart. Oh, that's right. You may have committed those things, but you've lied. Oh, that's right. You've gossiped and slandered. Oh, come on. There's not one righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it was God's mercy and his grace that he still would choose us, the unfit, the non-qualified one, to walk in his ways and to live for him and to preach the gospel. How many are so blessed? Man, let's just pause and say, God, we love you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you for all that you're doing in our life. Hallelujah. You see, saints, from personal experience, Peter knew that Jesus was perfect. He had lived and traveled with Jesus for 3 years. Intimate relationships often reveal the worst in people, but Peter had seen the truth of the prophet's words. Praise God. And Christ was completely sinless in his life and in his words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's move on to verse 23 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges what? Righteously. Praise God. God judges righteously. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, saints, this is another prophetic scripture from Isaiah. Oh, that's right. Let's look at Isaiah 53:7. Look at this right now. He was oppressed. What? What do you mean oppressed? Oh, that's right. He was oppressed, saints of God. Did you catch that? And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Praise God. God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Man, I'm so very thankful. Look at this. And he was led. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is silent. So he what? He opened not his mouth. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm so mighty thankful. You see, saints, Jesus did not retaliate. That's right. Or nor did he threaten. How tempting it must have been to expose the liars at his trial, to come down from the cross in a great display of power, or to even blast his enemies with God's wrath. He could have done all that. Ah, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. Look what it says I found here that Paul wrote in Romans. In Romans 12, look at this. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. Man, look at that. Do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome what? Evil with good. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Jesus left his case in the hands of Father God, who always judges fairly. That's right. Jesus suffered patiently because he knew that God, hallelujah, would have the final say. Praise God. You see, Jesus regarded God as sovereign. So he put what? The outcome of his life in God's hands. Believers can entrust themselves, praise God, entrust themselves and their suffering into God's hand. This is what we must do, is when we are afflicted, give it all to God. Why? Because knowing that God will ultimately right all wrongs is a great comfort to all believers who are suffering. And it helps them respond correctly in their sufferings. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Let's keep on moving on here to verse 24 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. Who bore himself. Look at this. Who himself bore our sins. This is where I got the topic for this message. In his own body on the tree. That we, having died to sins, might what? Might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What? That's right. By his beatings. By his sufferings. Saints of God, this phrase also comes from Isaiah. Isaiah, he personally carried away our sins. Oh, that's right. Where did he take him to? He threw him. He threw him out. Look at this. Look at this, what I found in Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was what? Numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many. And he made what? Intercession for the transgressors. Wow. 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 And look at this. Because of that, we were healed. Look at this. In Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are what? We are healed. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, only Christ himself, the sinless Son of God, could bear our sins on the cross. Christ took the death penalty for sin, dying in our place, so that we would not have to what? Suffer the punishment that we deserve. Oh, every one of us deserve far more punishment than he took for us. But he took it all for us. Why? Because we read in Scripture clearly in the book of John chapter 3 that Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. Why? Because the world is already condemned. He came to save us from ourselves and from death, hell, and the grave. You see, my friends, in a transaction we cannot comprehend, God placed the sins of the world on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't. We can't ever comprehend that. So we can be dead to sin and live for what is right now. Praise God. Because all of our wrongdoing has been what? Forgiven. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Saints of God, we are reconciled to God. And all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior can have this new life and live in union with Him. Praise God. You see, my friends, our evil desires, our bondage to sin, and our love of sin, it died with who? It died with Christ on the cross. This is called substitutionary atonement. You see, my friends, Jesus died as our substitute. His wounds have healed ours. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? So we're going to look at our last verse of Scripture to break this down. Let's go there right now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, look at this. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wow. Wow. This is what Jesus did for us, saints. That's right. You see, this verse also echoes Isaiah once again. Oh, that's right. Let's go there right now. Look at this. Isaiah 53:6. Look at this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at this. My goodness, I need you to catch that. I need you to just let that get into your spirit. You see, when we come out of our mother's womb, we automatically walk away from God. The moment we start crawling, the moment we start walking, we don't have no mind for God. Oh, that's right. And it goes right into our toddler years. It goes into our young youth, into adults. We are not seeking God. The Bible says it's clear. There is none that seeks after God. No, not one. And so how are we reached? Through the preaching of the gospel. Someone will come by and plant the seed or even water it. And then God in his wonderful mind, his prophetic, profound providence for our lives, he will come and get us when it's time. Just like we're anticipating Jesus to come to take the church home, we don't know exactly when. Well, we didn't know exactly when we were going to get saved. It was a mystery, wasn't it? We weren't even looking for him. But God has blessed the church to reveal the mystery, why he saved us and why he's coming again. You see, saints, sheep need the constant protection of a shepherd, or they will wander away, following their noses and sometimes getting into great danger. Oh, that's right. We see the example in Psalms when King David, he was ruling the sheep, guiding the sheep out there. They needed him out there. And he delivered them from bears and from wolves and from lions. Oh, that's right. Well, people could be like that, wandering through life in whatever direction, saints of God, and whatever circumstances might take them. But that was in the past. Now, you have turned to your shepherd, who? The guardian of your souls, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. He came for us. And pastors throughout the world, we're just sub-shepherds. We're no different than what he told Peter. Peter, feed my sheep. And that's all we do. But none of them are ours to claim. We're all the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And so at conversion, saints of God, each believer returns from going his or her own way. And it's usually the way of sin. Peter described God as a shepherd who tirelessly looks for the sheep, guiding and protecting them. Oh, that's right. Look what I found in Psalms to identify this and to correlate with this. In Psalms 23, 1 through 4, look at this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is why we need Jesus, a wonderful shepherd. Look at this in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You got to take this home, saints of God. And look what else I found in Ezekiel 34. Look at this. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. Look at this. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy day and dark day. Praise God. Look at this. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, in all the inhabited places of the country. Praise God. Look at this. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. They, look at this, there they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them what? Lie down, says the Lord God Almighty. And look what else I found in the New Testament, in Luke 15. Oh, I forgot 16. Look at this. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen that was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Wow. Wow. You see, let me just pause there. This story in the Word of God, it ends with God's righteous judgment. Oh, that's right. And the unbelievers and the wicked ones will have their day in court with Him. But you and I, who have received Him, and you have accepted Him, and we are now grafted in by faith and we are His, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. For we were lost at one time and now we're found. Oh, that's right. He went looking through the highways and byways and He found us as lost sheep. And He brought us into the fold. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on, you got to give God praise and glory and honor. For it was He who sought us out. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in Luke. Look at this. In Luke 15, 5 through 7. And when He, look at this, and when He has found it, He lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. And when He comes home, He calls together His friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What? What? Listen, how many of you know friends, family members, co-workers, people in school, people that surround your influential life? How many do you know that still haven't come to that place of repentance? Saints of God, this is why He saved us, that we would preach the gospel, that we would plant and water. And watch God give the increase. Oh, yes. God will give the increase. Look what it also says right here. Let's go here. As we're coming in for a close. In John 10, look at this. 11 through 16, look at this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. This is a picture of Satan, what he has done. Look at this. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know what? I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at this in verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Who are those? Them also I must bring. That's us, the Gentiles. He came first for the house of Israel, the Jews, His people, His covenant, His promise to Abraham. But Abraham said, through your seed, many will be blessed. And we are the Gentiles. So Jesus said, I have others to bring. And that was us. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that we were in that number? Praise God. That God, hallelujah, in His forefront, His prophetic mind, hallelujah, the providence of God, that He included us. The same way God that God rounded up His own people. Saints, whatever trials and difficulties they might face, the shepherd would always what? always be by their side, and the guardian of their souls would protect and seal them for eternity. Praise God, praise God. How many are so blessed to know that when it's all said and done, we're going to be with Him forevermore? Oh, that's right. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise. How many are so blessed to know that? Oh, yes. Saints, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming very soon. And we need to have our hearts ready. Oh, that's right. Listen, many people are having dreams. Little children are having dreams. My brother sent me this video clip that was recorded on TikTok. And this girl was probably maybe 10, 11 years old, had a dream. And God showed her the rapture, that we would be gone fast. And then a major war will break out. And people are going to be running in fear, especially when we are gone. Our loved ones, close family members that were never born again, they're going to mourn because we will be gone. And according to this one dream, is God's going to let them know that they had every opportunity to know who Jesus and why He came to this earth. My goodness, friends, it's time. It's time. It's time. If you're watching right now, and maybe you logged in, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, listen, this is your moment. This is your time. God wants to do something miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is surrender. Turn from your sin. Repent. Turn your back on sin and turn to God. Ask God to forgive you of all your transgressions, because God will forgive and throw them from the east to the west, and He will remember your sin no more. But you got to repent first. This is not greasy grace where we just say a prayer and then we live like we want to live. No, there's got to be a true change, because when there's true repentance, then the blood will cover you. Hallelujah. Then God will cleanse your whole being and then fill you with this Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit there for? To lead us and guide us, to watch over us, to hear His voice, to read His word, and His word will come alive, because now you're spiritually alive unto God. It's not ink on pages no more. And then God will call us home. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in most of us is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we're going to be raised from this earth. Hallelujah. And we will be with Him forevermore. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's tuned in right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow your heart and your head and pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's you, down below is our banner. Log on. Our email, our phone number is there. Call us. We want to pray with you. We want to put a Bible in your hand and watch you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. Can't wait to meet you. Can't wait to hear from you. Praise God. And also, another great big shout out to those who continue to bless our ministry. As you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, thank you for tuning in this evening. I hope you were blessed with this Bible study. We just concluded chapter 2 in 1 Peter. We'll be looking to chapter 3 next week by the grace of God. And I hope to see you this Sunday We're going to have a potluck after service, and then it's going to be our healing rooms at 1 p.m. So we're looking forward to another Spirit-filled day at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. Our live in-person service is at 10 a.m. And if you can't make it, praise God. Praise God. We can be reached on Facebook and YouTube at that same time. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you this benediction as we sign off. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.